Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of August 5th, 2016. I am Chris Randazzo and I am your host. With me tonight are Paragon of Style, Dan Ryan.
I certainly am. Good evening.
And the Lord of the Vest, Dean DeFalco.
Hello, and I must say, listen, Style King, like, he's a picture. He's a static picture. There is no style.
That's how stylish I am. I don't even need to move.
AJ Styles.
He's nothing but style.
Fina. Phenomenal one.
Phenomenal one. I'm doing
Dean's.
The hand thing right now.
He is. Good. You can't tell.
I just see a luchador with a cigar.
It's Dean's final episode, so he picked a rather unique topic for us all to discuss. Will Marge be our new co-host next week? Find out now. This is the Stone Age Gamer. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to episode 112 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, where we're all wearing vests in our hearts. This week, we say goodbye to our longtime friend and co-host, Dean, as he's decided to pursue other ways to spend his Wednesday nights. So for his final topic, he asked us to discuss our top three best-dressed video game characters. But before we get to that, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com and let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, our listener. And if you're tuning into our live broadcast here on the Geekade Twitch channel, you can ask us questions right now, and we'll answer them just as soon as there's a break in the conversation. So I did this last week, I'm going to keep doing it, because we've got more announcements to make. In fact, some of them are even the same announcements. I just want to remind you again. So first, a quick reminder that my friends and I here at Geekade.com are hosting a charity fundraising event on August 20th. It's a 24-hour live stream on the Geekade Twitch channel called the Pain in the Assathon. Why Pain in the Assathon? Well, because we're raising money for the Colon Cancer Alliance. And what's a bigger pain in the ass than colon cancer? But it's also a 24-hour live stream consisting of only games that can be considered a pain in the ass for one reason or another. We'll be playing games like Link Faces of Evil for CDI, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for NES, Knuckles Chaotix for 32X, and there's plenty more games, tomfoolery, and surprises on top of all that. So head over to the Geekade Twitch channel, like the one you're on right now, starting August 20th at 10 a.m. and watch 24 hours of folks from this podcast, the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, Ring the Bell, Wave Back, You Shall Not Pass Go, Apathetic Enthusiasm, Paper Cuts, and more, suffer through some of the biggest pains in the ass we can find. And if you're super nice, help donate to a good cause and make our pain their gain. Head over to Geekade.com right now for more information. Next, the Stone Age Gamer Podcast will also be doing a panel at Long Island Retro Gaming Expo this Saturday. That's August 13th at the Upsky Long Island Hotel. We have never been to this show before, but it looks like a really good time, and we're all very excited to be there. The panel is at 2:30 p.m., not a.m., so if you're in the area, come say hi. And finally, this is going to be our last live Twitch episode for a while, with it being just Dan and myself going forward, and Dean being the one who handles the majority of the Twitch stream stuff. We decided that it would just be easier all around for us to stick to the audio format for a while. We will still be doing some special episodes on Twitch from time to time. I've got a few plans in mind, so stay tuned. To our loyal Twitch followers, thank you for sticking with us. And now back to business. Dean, first, why don't you give a brief little explanation on why it is you're leaving and some parting terms, and then explain a little more about today's topic.
Sure. I am leaving because...
Fuck you guys. I'm out.
I'm leaving right now. I'm just going to leave the camera on and walk out of the room. No. Our website is growing, and it's been growing for the last few months, and we've been getting more people and stuff and more content. And I feel that some of our areas are a little lacking as far as supervision goes, and I felt that maybe I could help that out. So I'm leaving the Stone Age Gamer podcast to take care of those things. It was either this or Paper Cuts, and let's be realistic, if Paper Cuts If I left paper cuts, it would go from going off the rails to going off the rails into a school of orphans, and I can't have that on my conscience. So we're just going to go with Stone Age Gamer. I feel that I think Chris and Dan are more than capable of talking about great topics every week and bringing you the great content that comes out every week as well. You can still catch me on Twitch. I'll be doing Vest Quest stuff. In fact, I'll be probably doing it more now because I have more time to do it. And we'll be doing a lot more video content, which is what I'll be focusing on, the video content for our website. So you'll be seeing a lot more video content stuff going up and a lot different video content going up because of you've probably been noticing it's a lot of Let's Play. We're probably going to get away from doing Let's Play stuff and getting more into doing unique stuff, which I'm really excited about. And we have some big news coming, but I'm not going to tell you yet. It's not time. So, yeah, just stay tuned, and I guarantee you you'll be happy when we release some of the content coming out. It's really cool, and I'm super excited about it. I'm super happy to have new people on board. I am really sad that I have to leave Stone Age Gamer to do it, but sometimes you have to sacrifice good things to for the greater good. So that's that. As far as the topic goes today, obviously being the Vest Lord and all, I know about being the best dressed person on the podcast. So I thought for my final episode, we'd talk about some of the best dressed video game characters in just the industry. So you can talk about anyone you want. It's a no holds barred grudge match of swagitude. So without any further ado.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, swagitude. Why can't it be a thing? That sounds like something John Cena would say, right?
Swagitude.
Right, yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. Yes.
maybe he'll get away from that one day, but I digress. I think we should talk about characters. Now, who wants to go first? Should I go first?
I mean, yes. I think yes, you should go first. Now, we did top three, right?
Yes, top three.
All right.
I didn't pick any specific order because I really had a hard time even just getting it down to three because I had a lot of stupid reasons for doing it. But my first one is Mega Man X. Now, hear me out. This dude been asleep for like, what, 1,000 years, 100 years? How long has it been? Like since Dr. Light put him in that little case.
I think it was 100?
100 years.
A billion.
XD years.
Yeah, XD years.
It was XX years.
It was a long fucking time, to say the least. This dude had the insight. Dr. Light was like, he looks good, but he doesn't look good enough.
He needs to look good for the future.
Exactly. In 100 years, he might need to look better. Let me put a bunch of awesome upgrades in capsules so he can find them and upgrade his swagitude to over 9,000. And that's exactly what happens. Dude goes from like a chrome blue to like a pimped out red, white, and blue. He's fucking Captain America blowing away bitches and stuff. It's great. There is nothing better than getting those upgrades in Mega Man X. And I gotta say, like, it feels satisfying seeing them happening too. That's what made it cool. You know, you get the helmet. Fuck yeah, man. The helmet's cool. He's got horns and shit. You can headbutt through blocks and stuff. That's great. You get the boots. You can fucking dash and stuff. Yeah, man. You get the whole thing. You can Hadouken people to death. Fireballs in the face to obliterate people to nothing. And I love it. And the swagitude level is at an all-time high for Mega Man X, and that's why he's on my list for best-dressed characters, because the dude was prepared 100 years before he was even conscious. Dr. Light, his pops was like, yo, man, listen, you're good right now, but later, Vile might be coming at you, you know, all swagged out and pimping, and you gotta show him what's up. And he did. He did show him what's up.
Sigma's got a fucking cape. Like, he needed to stand up.
Exactly. And you know what he did? He fucking shot a fireball through his chest. Game over! That's what happened. That's why Mega Man X is on my list. Next.
Right. We should stop there.
Yeah,
I don't
podcast over.
I don't have
listen. All three that I have
as well prepared or thought like out that. As that.
Well, in that case, Dan, I think you should go next.
Well, good. fucking. So, I had a couple that came to mind, but I decided to go classic here and talk about Agent 47 because. when
Homeboy's classy,
well dressed
yeah,
man.
Super
I mean,
classy.
It's just a class. It's a look that I could never pull off. First of all, like, let's just be honest here. The bald head, my head's too fucking big. First of all, so like when all of my hair eventually does fall out, it's gonna be a fucking trashy mockery. Yeah, it's not gonna be a good look. But I have the beard, so like that's still scary. So that's good, I suppose. But so I can't pull off the bald head like Agent 47. And I don't look that good in a suit, man. Like, he looks in a suit better than James Bond. It's a classic black suit, white shirt, red tie.
Red tie.
The red,
tie really pulls it together.
It really does. It's like, fuck you. This is, you're going to bleed. I'm going to kill you. This last thing you see, I'm going to like sneak up behind you and garrot wire the shit out of you. And you'll just turn around and be like, oh, fuck. Dude's got a pimp ass red tie on, and then you'll be dead.
Accurate.
That's all I got, man. It's fucking. It's a dope ass look. Plus, you can change clothes throughout the game, and he's like, you can wear, you know, people that you've murdered. You can wear their clothes as well.
You can wear their skin.
I don't know that it was that far.
No,
maybe
no.
That was
in
a
Texas Chainsaw.
Was that in a mod that I didn't play?
Yeah. The creepy psychopath mod that was in there. Mm. Oh, boy. I think, Chris, that leaves you up next.
It does. So I gave myself an extra caveat here. I decided to only choose people that were wearing vests.
Oh, buddy.
Wow.
So my these are my top three stylish folks wearing vests. So I'm going to go with my number three here because this one takes a little convincing. Let me actually dig up a picture to show you guys so that you have some frame of reference. Because I don't know how well you guys
Henchman
know.
Henchman number four in Streets of Rage.
Oh, that motherfucker?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, shit, that, yeah, that, no, everybody knows that guy. All right, so my number four, my number three is Spike McFang.
Uh-huh.
Who is the titular character in the... I'd say the underrated, the Twisted Tales of Spike McFang for the Super NES. Now, let's see, Google Hangouts. Can I add? No, I'm just going to throw this in our Slack chat because I don't know how to do anything else. Let's see. SAG, Spike McFang, upload.
Well, I'll be damned, that is a vest.
That is a vest. It is a... So, I mean, like, let's look at this guy's style right here. He's got the red cape with the bat thing going on, because he's a vampire. He's got a top hat, like, with, I don't know, lightning bolts on it that he can throw at people. He's got this blue and gray striped vest that's with a t-shirt underneath, it looks like. And then he's got the sneakers that are, like, an amalgamation of every 90s kid nightmare. Like, it looks like if you look at the tongues of the sneakers, he's got the basketball pumps on. But the old pump-up sneakers, I don't
Listen,
know.
Listen, by how
but, I mean,
high
look,
he's jumping, he must have pumped those up pretty high.
He must have. I mean, look at this guy. If this isn't the pinnacle of style, I don't know what is.
I'm pretty sure that's a long-sleeve shirt that's rolled up. So his swagitude already went up a few points.
Yeah, I mean, he is directly in the middle of... Like, I've got my own style and just really not giving a shit about what other people think. Because, I mean, clearly, you've got to be damaged to walk out of the house in an outfit like this. And yet, Mr. McFang, he pulls it off pretty darn well. So, I tip my lightning bolted top hat to Spike McFang for my number three.
So, just real quick, what is this game about?
Oh, Twisted Tales of Spike McFang. This game's amazing. It's kind of like a Zelda clone.
Okay.
You are a vampire, but the vampires in this world, they just eat tomatoes instead of drinking blood. And they are afraid of garlic. Like, you see not really afraid of garlic, but garlic is their natural enemies, which is why there's a scared garlic clove on the cover. And you throw your hat, you twirl your cape, you solve some puzzles, you do some combat. It's painfully short, unfortunately. Like, just when you really think the game's getting going, it just ends. But, man, this game's awesome. I friggin' love this game. I think I did a Lost in Time about it a while ago.
You know what? I do remember seeing that. I think so. So, all right. That's cool. So, I guess it's back to me then.
Back to you.
All right. So, I had a hard time deciding who I wanted to go second with. But this one's a little bit more normal. So, I'm going with you've played Final Fantasy 13, right?
Actually, no.
Do you know the characters?
You talking about the dude with Chocobo in his hair?
No. He was close. He was close. But I didn't want to get that idiotic, so I went with Snow, because...
Snow, which one's... Oh, is he the dude with the hat and the long blonde hair, kind of?
Yes, that douche.
Okay.
So
he's pretty stylish.
He's pretty stylish, but listen, this is the seller. Homeboy, like, he has his shirt open for most of the, I think, for all of the game. They're on a fucking mountain, and he decides, fuck it, I'm just gonna keep it open. Just fucking burly-ass chest, just hanging out, walking through the snow, 1,000 feet in the air, no big deal, punching bitches to death. He doesn't have a sword and shit. He just punches bitches with his chest all open and stuff. Look at my chest, then look at my fist, because your nose is about to bleed. End of story. Like, he's fucking cool, man. I mean, granted, he's one of the main characters in the game, so I guess that's another reason to be cool. But, yeah, I mean, he's pretty fucking swag, man. You know, just he got those baggy-ass pants. He's got the fucking skull cap on and stuff. He just looks fucking cool. And I don't know. He was my favorite character in the game. But, I mean, there weren't many good characters in that game when I remember, besides Saz, which is the guy with the chocobo in his hair, and Snow, which is just kind of the badass of the game, because Lightning was all depressing. Hope was all... You know, for a guy named Hope... He's really fucking pessimistic and whiny. It's really shitty.
And for a girl named Lightning, she sure was bland.
She was! She really was! Oh, man, that game sucked. But Snow was cool, and so was Saz. Neck and neck, I think that they're not bad dudes, and they're pretty high on my list of swagitudes. So I give them...
Bad Dudes was a different game.
Bad Dudes is a different game. You're right. You are right. You know what? They should remake the game with Snow and Saz in it. It might be... No, it's still just going to be okay.
Snow and Saz rescue the president from ninjas.
You know, that's about as believable as any Final Fantasy
game. It's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's probably better than the regular one. So,
how has Bad Dudes not been remade?
That's a good question.
Like, how in the world has that not happened? Has somebody not said, we need a game where the president has been kidnapped by ninjas? Like, absolutely ridiculous. Make that happen.
All right, yeah. Agreed. I mean, there was a Pokemon remake this week. There was a fucking Metroid remake last week. We got all kinds of things going on. But
remakes for days.
I digress. Dan, why don't you go on and tell me your number two?
M. Bison.
Yo.
Ooh,
okay.
Good one.
But
okay.
Not M. Bison from Street Fighter II. M. Bison from Street Fighter II, the movie, the game.
Yes, Raul Julia being
Raul Julia.
He's got a suit that performs CPR.
It's the fucking best thing ever. It is the best thing ever.
I mean, we were
Raul Julia.
We were
as M. Bison.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Motion captured in a Mortal Kombat style Street Fighter game.
Just delightful.
Chris, do you remember we were graced with Bison's presence?
It was Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday. Okay, I got it. Cool. that's a perfect pick. Like, there's nothing better than Raul Julia M. Bison. In fact, I think he should be an alternate costume in Street Fighter V. I'm just saying.
Oh, that would be so good.
That would be great.
Oh, man.
But not like an alternate costume for Bison. Like an alternate costume for like Crimson Viper or some shit. Like, for no reason. Just this is Hakan's alternate costume is Raul Julia M. Bison.
Chun-Li. Shoes on the other foot now.
Oh boy.
Really, the Street Fighter, the movie, the game characters should be like alternate costumes for all of their counterparts whenever possible, except for poor Sawada, who's never been in anything ever again.
No, nor should he be, the bastard.
Seriously, nobody cares.
But
nobody cares. Nobody cared then, nobody cares now.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But to be a little bit more serious, Mr. Bison, which is what I assume the M stands for, Mr. Bison.
Mr. Bison.
Never has someone made that much red look that good. I mean, dude is super jacked, fucking rocking a beret with a fucking sweet ass logo on it, the skull with the wings on it. That's fucking dope. He has silver kick pads on like a goddamn luchador. What more can you ask for? This guy's amazing.
The cape. He has an optional cape.
That's true.
An optional cape. A cape that he's so like nonchalant about at the start of a fight. He's like, I'm going to just whip this off before I whip your ass. Like, he's fucking dope.
He just throws it away. He's got a limitless supply.
Because they disappear right behind him. I mean, I wish I had capes that just disappeared when I was like, fuck it, don't want it anymore.
Immediately biodegradable capes.
Oh, boy.
That's a good pick.
Sorry. I didn't take this nearly as seriously as I should have, and I apologize. I didn't know the two of you were going to take it that serious. But...
You think I'm taking it seriously?
Yes. You have put a lot more thought into this than I have.
Well, I think the word serious you're using in the wrong light. Like, I don't know if my reasons are totally sound or, like, normal or sane.
If you say them loud enough, they mean it.
You're right. That's, I mean, and I'm plenty loud, so I think I'm okay on that front.
You're rocking the Donald Trump style of arguing right now. I'm just going to yell this a bunch.
No, if I want to get my point across, I'll just climb up a building.
Fair enough. All right. My number two, speaking of Red and Capcom, my number two is the extraordinarily well-dressed Apollo Justice, also wearing a vest. This dude has a sleek, fantastic-looking red suit. And he doesn't really rock the coat the way that that Phoenix Wright does. You know, he's got this long sleeve shirt vest combo with a blue tie, red vest, red pants, cool ass spiky hair. I mean, he's not as cool as Phoenix Wright as a character, hands down. There's no question there. But his style is just phenomenal, especially when he comes back in the later game and he's got the eye patch and the weird blue coat over his outfit, like Apollo Justice. Styling, red vest.
I wish I looked this good in a vest. I'll never look this good.
I think you need this outfit.
In the
Dean, I think you need this
I
outfit.
I think I need to cosplay as this just every con.
You could absolutely pull off an Apollo Justice cosplay.
Oh, God, it's happening. It's happening, man. Fucking video game cons right around the corner. It could happen. Oh, boy. Oh, man, it's wrapped around to me, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, unless you want to just admire Apollo a little bit longer.
I don't want to hold the podcast up too much. I might end up tight in the pants there.
I don't know if you saw the picture of him with the coat and the eye patch.
Oh, I did. He looks pretty fucking great.
The eye patch, like the bandage is flowing in the wind. There's nothing I don't love about this man.
Yeah, he looks great. That's
nothing
a fantastic
not good about
character.
This.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
Yeah. One of these days we'll get around to playing those games. One day.
I don't know if I want to. I've heard they're like frustrating.
Well, I think they're great. I've played the first one and a half. The two and three I never played through to conclusion. And I didn't even touch the other ones. But they're point and click adventures basically. You know, they're just that. And they're so good, they're so amusing. Great mythology. I wish I was playing it right now.
Well, unfortunately, I won't get that anytime soon because I have a copy of No Man's Sky coming my way. So,
I want to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, but I got it on Amazon, so it was only like $42. Cause Prime, I pay $100 a year for that, so you know why not? Okay, so my last one is Pikachu, and
hey, Pikachu's fucking naked.
Okay.
Not Lucha Pikachu.
Exactly. What about Detective Pikachu, too? What about the hats you can get in Smash Bros? Dude is a master of disguise. He can be whatever he wants to be because he's the man. I mean, hats give him magical powers, apparently, because he puts on a luchador mask. All of a sudden, he can beat the shit out of people with his fists. Don't even need thunder anymore. Fuck that. He's got thunder and lightning right here. What else does he need? So, I mean, fucking Luchador Pikachu's one. Detective Pikachu, homeboy puts on a detective's cap. All of a sudden, he can talk, and he can just solve mysteries and be a boss. And apparently, if we're lucky enough, we might get Danny DeVito doing it. All right. disclosure, that's not going to happen, but I'd like to think so.
You don't know that, Dean.
I want to believe. I've never signed a petition in my life except for that one. Oh, God. Okay, so, I mean, just think about it. You know, in the beginning, it was like, yeah, all right, it's Pikachu. You know, he's the mascot for Pokemon. But then they made Surfing Pikachu on, like, Pokemon cards and stuff. And then he was in Pokemon Yellow. He's fucking surfing goddamn Pikachu. He wasn't even wearing anything. He was just naked on a surfboard, being the big kahuna and shit. And then
That's how I surf.
Naked on a surfboard. I mean, who doesn't? Aerodynamics. Got the balls flapping in the wind and everything.
That's right.
Wearing nothing but a party hat.
Oh,
nothing
boy.
But a Pikachu surfing card.
That's
I actually, like, I taped the card to my chest for inspiration.
Nice. I mean, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. All right, but yeah, I mean, dude is like a jack of all trades. Whatever he wants to be, he can be, because he's fucking Pikachu.
Does he want to be the very best?
Like no one ever was. He probably does at whatever he wants to do too. It's like I don't know, the Sesame Street of Pokemon. Like he can just do whatever he wants because he feels like he can. And listen, kids, if you feel like you want to do something, you should do it. Because the Vest Lord says you can. That's a good PSA. I should fucking clip that up, throw it out, and make a auto-tuned song of it and whatnot. It'll be great. Anyway.
It'll be on the Sonic the Hedgehog soundtrack.
You're damn right. So, yeah, I mean, he's just fucking cool. Like, how many different things has he been? You know, I'm going to go with one. He's been a Pokemon. He's been a surfer. Mm-hmm. He's been a detective. He's been a luchador. I'm pretty sure he's been a puzzle master as well. I think he's ridden a bicycle at one point. I've seen him cook things. He really likes ketchup. Did you guys know he likes ketchup?
I did not know
he
that.
He really likes it. There's a whole song devoted to Pikachu liking ketchup.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I digress.
The shit I don't know about Pokemon. Yeah,
before I get down the Pikachu rabbit hole, I'm just going to say... Dude can do anything he wants. He's the man, and what really put him over for me, if we're going to talk in wrestling terms, what really put him over with the crowd is that when he donned the fucking luchador mask and they stuck him in Pokken Tournament, oh my god. His fucking ultimate, or whatever you want to call it, his like big finisher, is he starts banging on his fucking elbow and fucking forearm, and he gets to the top rope, jumps off, and delivers a flying elbow like the Macho Man. And I got so hyped the first time I saw that. So goddamn hyped. I was like, this is my character. This is my main. I've never had a main in a fighting game ever. That game, I played the shit out of Luchador Pikachu, because how can you not? Dude's a fucking boss. And Pikachu, I salute you on my final episode. You're my number one, buddy. I love you.
Wow.
Wow. This is a good one. Well thought out.
I prepared.
Dan? You're up.
Do I have to be? Because, again, I have nothing to follow that up. I was going to be cheesy and pick something from Puzzle and Dragons, you know, because of our obsession with it, and we have to get the mention in. But we're not that kind of podcast. We're not going to sit here and talk about waifus and fucking husbandos and shit.
I don't know what you just said, okay.
But it's all right. It's all right. So I'm going to go with my final choice of best-dressed video game character. This was a guy who, in the rough and tumble sport of professional wrestling, I mean, dudes just huge and muscular, ready to beat the shit out of each other. This was a dude who was like, you know what? I'm a fucking come to the ring in pink and blue.
I knew it! I knew you were going to do this!
There's nothing you can do to stop my flying cross chop. We're talking, of course, about Starman from the original NES Pro Wrestling.
That's
not
right.
Only was motherfucker head to toe in a pink leotard with some blue underwear on the outside, but he had a mask that had a dope-ass fucking star on it. I didn't even realize when I was a kid how fucking dope that was. And I knew it was fucking dope. So, as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate just the ridiculousness of this character design. Now, you like, why is he pink? Right? Because back then when this when this game came out, it wasn't like the real men wear pink thing wasn't really a movement yet. It was more like real swishy men wear pink is more kind of what it was going for. And the developers, there was an interview and they asked them like, why did this character, like, why did you have a fucking wrestler in all pink? And they were like, well, we ran out of colors. So this is what we went with. It's like, right the fuck on. That is the best reason. There's no motivation behind it. We didn't give a shit. We were like, all right, we made all the other characters. What the fuck is Starman going to be? I don't know. We didn't use pink. Book it. Let's do it. Pink it is.
Dunzo.
Pink? What color is the mat? Light blue? Give him some fucking dark blue trunks. That'll be great. And it was. It's a fucking awesome design. I love it. Starman's fucking great. He looks cool. He's got cool moves. He does the fucking backflip kick. How can you not love this guy?
Star kick.
Oh, the star kick is so dope. Love it.
Good choice. Damn good choice.
Thank you, sir.
All right, for my final, the best dressed and the best vest. Let me toss a picture of this in the Slack chat, just in case you don't know who I'm talking about. The very pinnacle of video game character style, Mr. James Pond.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is a fish wearing a vest and a bow tie.
This is fish.
And there's there's a collar going on underneath the vest, but no sleeves, no pants. This is a fish that pulls off the tuxedo James Bond look with only a vest, a bow tie, and a collar.
You know, it looks like they took one of those, like, dull, dead face, happy face smiles and just stuck it on a fish. Like, he just looks so, like, I'm going to shoot you. It's okay. I'll be happy about it. No big deal.
You're going to die.
But there's bubbles coming out of his gun.
Oh, boy.
Yes, the bubble gun. I don't even remember getting a gun in that game. I just remember carrying toxic barrels around.
Man, I mean, that is a thing that exists, kids. Like, think about where we have come to now, like, to not having a new James Bond game. That's an awesome thing that there hasn't been a James Bond in a long time.
Yeah.
Fucking,
I'm really sad
that there isn't a new James Bond.
Nah, man, this is a fish with a redneck tuxedo on and a fucking half-naked mermaid. Well, I guess mermaids are always half-naked. But this mermaid in particular on the back of this picture that you showed us here, Chris, has hair covering up her titties. And, like, this was a kid's game with some hairy titties on it. So that, like, man.
All right, listen. Like, don't fish say titties. Hairy titties, because then I feel like there's hair on the titties. There's hair covering the titties.
Fish titties. Have you seen that Disney thing going around where Nemo and his dad are like, man, I want to see some fish titties. Oh, it's fucking hysterical. Anyway.
Just for fun reference of just showing off the overall quality of the James Bond series is when they made James Bond 2, codenamed Robocod, it looks to me like they just reused the same artwork and threw a metal vest on him instead of a James Bond.
Even better.
Well, he's Robocod now, so.
Exactly. But you can look at his flippers. They're in the same exact position. Like, it's basically the same picture.
Early Photoshop's pretty great, man. They did a great job putting his head on a metal vest. I'll tell you what, though. Metal vest? Way to go. I got to get me one of those. What the fuck is going on in this game? There's a toy soldier, a penguin, a fucking teddy bear. There's a fucking Ferrari in the back. No, that's not a Ferrari. That's like a cheap car. That's a Mercury Cougar. The bomb right, smiling
it's a Ferrari? No, it's not. It's a Chevy Nova. Sorry.
Oh, now, a few more things. Now, I can only attest to the first James Bond as the game. That is a game that I played and played a lot of. James Bond Robocod did eventually get re-released for Game Boy Advance, as you can see in the image I just put in the chat here of the CG version of Robocod, which is somehow even more disturbing.
I want nothing to do with this.
That looks terrible.
Oh, God, yeah.
But the original James Bond, actually a pretty decent game. You swim around and you're trying to get rid of all these toxic. It's just like an environmentalism game. You just float around trying to take care of all this toxic waste in the ocean. It's kind of cute. It's a fun game. was a Genesis game. There were a great many sequels. Well, I don't know about a great many. I know there's at least James Pond 2, God, James Pond 3, Super James Pond.
Okay, he's a spaceman in the third one.
Yes, he is.
And he has feet now.
Of course.
Evolution, obviously. I mean, fuck me, right? Yeah.
He didn't get enough toxic barrels out of the ocean, apparently.
Oh, God.
It's going to be like Blinky here in a fucking second.
Yeah. I was just, and they used that character in, they made these, like, aquatic games. It was like a weird underwater Olympics type of thing.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Yeah, featuring James Pond, because, like, EA thought that that was a character that was worth spreading the love on.
And so the Aquabats.
Super Aquatic Games, James Pond 2 RoboCod, James Pond 3 Operation Starfish, which I guess that's... Jeez, I can't figure out what Super James Pond is. It might be a port of RoboCop. I don't know.
Okay, listen, real talk? Like, they kind of lied here because they said James Pond and the Aquabats. I've seen the Aquabats. I've seen them on TV. I've seen them live. There are no Aquabats here. There's no music in this. There's just a stupid fucking whale, I think, on a unicycle. Or he might be having a heart attack and, like, leaning on the unicycle. I can't tell. He looks happy, but that might just be a face of pain because fish can't properly convey emotion. There's a knockoff Patrick Starfish. There's a stupid seal who's halfway into the water. I don't think he knows yet that he's falling in. And there's a crocodile who's probably plotting all their demises. And then there's a fucking palm tree who looks like two of his testicles are screaming at them. Palm tree testicles. What you want out of every palm tree.
What more could you possibly want? Geez, James Pond 2 was released on Acorn 32-bit, Amiga, Amiga CD32, Atari ST, Commodore 64, DOS, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Gear, Genesis, DS, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, Sega Master System. Wow.
That ran the
gambit.
That's
way too many places for that to be available.
They really wanted James Pond to take off. And yet Bubsy's the one that gets all the hate. I almost put Bubsy on my list. Dude wears a t-shirt with an exclamation point on it. What more could you possibly want out of fashion?
I am not looking forward to next week.
Ah, sure you are.
Oh, my pain will definitely be your gain.
So there it is. There you have it. My pinnacle of style in video games is none other than James Pond. Delightful.
I don't know what that says about you, Chris. I don't think it's anything good.
It says that I had a hard time finding video game characters with vests.
Yeah, I was gonna like recommend that, and then I was like, dude, I can't even think of one, like, let alone three. So I kind of just, I was like, best dress works.
Well, two popped up right off the bat. Like, the first two that came to mind were, well, first I thought Travis Touchdown had a vest on, but it turned out he didn't. But Apollo Justice and James Pond came to mind right away. It was Spike McFang that took me a while to find. But when I did find him, I was very happy.
I think we all had some solid stuff going on here today. I like these choices.
There was definitely a solid of some sort. All right. Well, that was a hoot. I had fun. I know you did, too. So we're going to take ourselves a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some news. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast from Geekade.com. So stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, it's been 30 years since the Metroid series debuted on the Famicom Disk System and the NES. Chris and Vicky celebrate this important anniversary by paying tribute to the music of the original installment of the game on an all-new Waveback podcast. Travel back with them to the simpler times of 1986 and hear all the best tracks from the first game in a series that has stood the test of time. Give a listen to the Waveback Podcast, episode 29, Metroid.
Next, the Apathetic Enthusiasm podcast recently had the opportunity to host a panel at Honolulu Comic Con about what else? Podcasting. Brandon and his guest, Dallas Nagata White, host of the Mana Pau Hana podcast. Man, why'd you give that to me? You know I can barely say these. Now you're giving me fancy words. Sat down to discuss what makes podcasting so great and record the whole live thing so you, yes you, not him, not Chris, not Dan, but you, can listen in and find out. Check out Apathetic Enthusiasm 78.1 Comic-Con panel.
Well done. Well done. Well done. Then there's a whole lot of chatter happening on our tabletop gaming podcast. Dave and Chengis get into Eldritch Moon, the mysterious Magic the Gathering buyouts, Magic Redux, Redux, the Redux. Star City Games IQ. Then they stress the importance of embellishment in role-playing, get let down by a phoned-in, unearthed arcana, and have their second round of random NPCs. They finish up the episode by reviewing Seven Wonders Duel and the all-time classic, Connect Four. Don't miss the latest episode of You Shall Not Pass Go, Hardcore Connect Four.
Dude, I want to play Hardcore Connect Four. Like, if you fucking lose, do you get stabbed or something?
It's Connect Four with guns.
God.
That's so American. God damn it. Finally, Brandon has a very special guest this week to talk about a very special Twilight Zone. David Avalon, writer for the Dynamite comic series, Twilight Zone, The Shadow, sits in to discuss the season one episode, The Chaser. Bet you thought I was going to say The Shadow, didn't you? Will they answer the age-old question, what makes the best chaser for an episode of The Twilight Zone? Find out and submit it for your approval. The Chaser.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other videos, articles, podcasts, and more right now at ek.com. And we're back. Everybody, let's hit up the first news story I got here. We mentioned this last week that AM2R, the Metroid 2 remake, and the first 13 years of Nintendo Power were put up on the internet, and Nintendo has already pulled them down.
Because Nintendo hates fun. Fuck you, Nintendo.
You know who got them?
I get the AM2R thing. Obviously, it's somebody else using their IP to make a game. I get it. They have every legal leg to stand on. And I can't help but think that, all right, this game has been out there for a very long time. This is the final version.
It hasn't been a secret.
Yeah, it hasn't been a secret.
It's been in production for almost 10 years.
So the fact that the game came out, was readily available for like 2 days to spread all over the internet, and then they asked people to take it down, kind of makes me think that whoever's in charge, like, obviously the corporate overlords at Nintendo are just like, kill it, destroy it all. And whoever's actually doing this stuff was just like, yeah, we're gonna let the internet have this for a day so that it can't be erased. And then we're going to say, yeah, guys, take this down. The Nintendo Power one I don't get. I mentioned last week that I didn't think that was going to happen, and I still don't really get it. Like, it's not like this stuff's for sale anywhere.
It's just Nintendo is fiercely protective of their IPs. And they should. I mean, all companies should be. But yeah. The fact of the matter is that, like, you can't stop it. You just can't. It exists. Like, you can go on right now and find a tracker and get all of the Nintendo Power issues if you want. Yeah. You can go on right now and you can find a tracker and get AM2R. It's never, you're never going to stop it. So the more you do to block it and issue DMCAs and, you know, cease and desists and all that shit, it just makes you look like a dick.
Yeah, I mean, like, Capcom's approach hasn't exactly hurt them. Now, I understand that Nintendo is just fiercely protective of their properties. Like, I don't like it, but I get the AM2R thing. I get it. It pains me to say it. It's a property that they're protective of. Even though AM2R, I haven't played it yet, but is clearly better than Other M.
So good. And this is coming from someone who has not played Metroid 2.
I have.
At least not in a long, long time, anyway, to even really remember much of it. But, like, playing through this, it's a fucking really good game.
I've watched a bunch of videos of it, and I know especially the beginning of Metroid 2 really well, and the very end of Metroid 2 really well. So, like, I've just watched videos of people playing the game. First off, the music is so good. The music is just such a great, great remixing of the music in Metroid 2. And the map is really, really close to what it was in Metroid 2. It's having an actual map system in Metroid 2 is really just what really pulls this together. It's just this remake is brilliant. But I can still see I can see where the Nintendo polish would come in. You know, if this was still clearly not a Nintendo product. Like, it's very much a fan game, but just the amount of love that was added to this, and the whole, like, the way that it scans a room to kind of tell you the story as you walk in, when you get into a new area of the game, and the little thing comes up on the bottom, it's just like, it was a really, really, really cool thing that they added there. And if Nintendo is paying any attention to this game and how big this game got, maybe make your own, you know, maybe proper
Metroid
2. Maybe hire
this guy since he's done already.
Well, yeah, at that point, just buy his shit, fucking port it over to DS. It looks plenty good. Just put it on a fucking DS. Just do it. You fucking do it. There you go. He did it for you. Literally, just take what he did and port it over. I can't say I know very much about video games, but people port things all the time. It can't be really that hard. I don't know. Maybe
I don't think Nintendo would just straight up port this game, because it reuses a lot of assets, and there is a certain degree of polish that's missing off of it. Like, it doesn't feel like a Nintendo game. I mean, granted, like I said, I haven't played it, but while watching it, it doesn't feel like it like a Nintendo game feels, with that certain degree of polish. But it wouldn't take long to get it there.
It feels really damn good.
It does feel good.
Like,
yeah.
Inches away from it. Like, it wouldn't take that long to get it there.
It plays like Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And maybe that is where you're having a disconnect, because Metroid 2 is not Fusion.
No, it's frames of animation kind of things. Like, it's like, as far as like actual, when I say feeling, like the actual controls, I'm sure are that, because I'm pretty sure he just ripped the controls straight out of Fusion and Zero Mission. There's like certain specific frames of animation and certain disconnects between how some things animate extraordinarily well and other things animate like an old sprite work. It's kind of incongruous, which is, you know, it still comes off looking really cool. But it's something that I'm pretty sure the people that would do art direction with Nintendo games would probably smooth out. They would make that stuff more coherent. It's really, really subtle details. And I mean, that's really the difference between most games and first party Nintendo games, is that attention to detail. And that's really all this game seems to be missing, is that level of polish. And it wouldn't take long to get it there. It's within inches of being there. I don't know. It breaks my heart, but at the same time, I'm glad it made it out into the internet, so it can never be erased. Like you said, they're never going to get this game off the internet.
No, I have it. If you want a copy, email us.
Stop! Shut your mouth.
Sorry. Stop!
No,
stop.
That's not happening.
All right. So enough sadness. Onto some weirdness. This actually came up last week, and I didn't mention it. The new Pokemon evolutions, the Alola evolutions, are really weird.
I love them. I love every single one of them.
Like, there's still some of the ice ones. They're kind of neat looking. And then there's the, what is it, Executor, whatever it is, that
Executor
turns into a freaking palm tree.
No, he turns into a giraffe. He gets a giraffe neck.
Yeah, that dude's got a long fucking neck, man.
Because, like, see, it was Execute, right? Mm-hmm. and then it was Executor, and now it's
Executist.
I don't know what the fuck it is, but now he can't be executed because his neck's too long. You can't hang him. That's
the scrawny one don't weigh enough, and the fat one ain't got no neck.
Oh, yeah, he was something special. Real special. The other ones are okay, but, like, you see the Vulpix, you see the Sandshrew, and then you see that motherfucker, and it's just like, where'd you come from?
Like, here's some basic color variations, some slight design tweaks, and this one's a goddamn palm tree.
Because why not?
They made me very happy. I'm thrilled that they exist. Okay, here's another sad bit here. Square Enix artist, I'm gonna butcher the heck out of this name. Manabu Daishima passes away. This is guy who saw he worked on Chrono Trigger, Romancing Saga, mm-hmm. Final Fantasy XII. Like this dude did a lot of really awesome stuff, and it is sad that he died. I don't have a ton to say about it other than it's a shame.
When you have someone who's done that much work, it's always going to be a huge loss to the industry, and I mean to us as gamers, because that mind who worked on all this stuff and probably created a fair amount of stuff that we've played through, you know, isn't going to be able to contribute anymore. And I mean, you know, obviously the loss of a person too, but you know, to us, this was a guy who was immortalized in his work, and for lack of a better term, we're never going to see anything new that's going to have his signature on it again, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's just a shame. It's a loss. It's sad, but it needed to be said. Something needed to be said about it, and there something has been said. Moving on. The NES Classic Edition, this actually made me really happy that there's going to be different display modes available. Like, I still can't believe that this is actually something that they're doing. There's going to be the option for a pixel perfect mode, similar to the pixel perfect mode on the Wii U Virtual Console for Game Boy Advance games, where you just super sharp squares and everything. Modes simulating the aspect ratio of old CRT screens, kind of like that mode in Super Mario Maker. I can't believe they're doing this. It's the amount of options that they're giving you for how to properly display your games on an HDTV. Like, this is some real above and beyond kind of stuff, which is kind of uncharacteristic for Nintendo sometimes. What do you guys think of this?
It's cool.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm happy that's an option.
Yeah.
I feel like... Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think it's good for people who... because, look, I mean, we're dealing with a console that has 30-plus years of history. So, you know, we have people like us who grew up playing these and want to play it the way that we remember it. You know, so giving an option for it to be more accurate to that for those of us that care about that sort of thing, it's nice that it's there. For younger kids who may be getting this as, you know, this is going to be a holiday gift that somebody's going to impulse purchase because they're going to go into a store and be like, oh shit, I had one of these when I was a kid. I'm going to fucking buy it for my kid. It's going to be awesome. We're going to play Nintendo on Christmas Day or whatever. Kids, you know, kids nowadays, they're not going to give a shit because they don't know any different. So it's nice that there's the option there. You can tweak it to how you like it, or right out of the box, it's going to play well.
I twerk it to how I like it.
Well, it's what we like about you.
Yeah, no, obviously. Have you guys seen the other retro... I don't know what the fuck you call those things. The reproduction consoles. The one coming from Retro USB, the AVS.
That was actually the next news story that
I had. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, the AVS from Retro USB is available now for pre-orders. This is something I've had my eyes on for a little bit now. I like Retro USB stuff. They're the website I got all my reproduction competition cartridges from. really, really high quality stuff. Now, these guys have an NES console that supports cartridges, Famicom and NES cartridges. It does HDMI out at 720p. It's a really weird looking design. It's got a giant flap that opens up that the games pop into. But it looks really cool when it's closed. It's got four controller ports built right in. It is, they say, 100% compatible with all games and accessories, which that's awesome. Let's see. Video, 720p widescreen HDMI output, 60Hz NTSC and 50Hz PAL. Audio, you've got 48kHz HDMI output with expansion audio from carts. So that's pretty cool. Variable pixel scaling, including integer options with optional variable darkness scan lines. Front-loading NES, top-loading Famicom, cartridge compatibility. It's got, let's see, built-in NES 4 Score Pro, Famicom expansion port is built in. Let's see, HDMI Type-A for audio and video, mini USB for power and data. There's cheat devices built right in for Game Genie, Pro Action Replay, Pro Action Rocky, and RAW formats. Online North America Scoreboard online score system through the USB port. And upgrade FPGA configuration and menu system through USB. So
also, I just read it on their Facebook. Someone asked, is it compatible with an EverDrive? And they said, yes, it is.
Wow.
So that's a leg up on the Retron. Yeah, so yeah. That's really cool.
Because I read somewhere that this works with hardware emulation, whereas the Retron works through software emulation. So that's kind of neat. This is actually just straight up reproducing the NES architecture as opposed to the Retron, which I believe recreates the games individually.
Yeah, well, is this an actual hardware unit? Because, I mean, The Retron works off of an Android platform to, you know, boot everything up. This is more hardware based, no?
I believe you are correct. Okay. Yes. This is a thing that's built to function as an NES.
Which is really cool. I mean, if I was gonna buy a system to play my old games on, especially NES ones, this would be a really cool thing to get. You know, if you wanted to buy something that was like the end result, granted if it's gonna deliver on what they're promising, this is a pretty good one to go with.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's looking for a good Christmas present for me,
$185. Or a birthday present for me. Yeah.
Not too shabby. I would love to have one of these AVS things. It just looks really cool. Granted, it only does NES stuff, which is nice. There's a limited launch edition that's made of clear plastic for $650.20.
I'll take the one for $160. That one was pretty reasonable. I feel for what it does, that's reasonable.
So $185 is the regular price.
I thought it was $160.
I think it may ship with a couple of homebrew carts too, if I'm not mistaken.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Either way, this is a really cool product. I'm pretty jazzed about it. Way to go, Retro USB. All right, let's see. The next one I was going to do was my favorite news story, so we're going to skip to a couple of them, and we're going to end on the last one here. So first off, proof that Konami still hates every single one of us, there are Frogger scratch lottery tickets now. This is what they're doing with their time. Don't make a game, none of that stuff. Lottery tickets. I'm sure Castlevania and Metal Gear are in the works. I'm mortified.
Fuck you, Konami.
They hate us. They hate you personally.
I have nothing to say about this. There's nothing great about that. There's nothing good. That's just stupid. You're a waste of space, Konami. I hope that you guys fall into a black hole
and come out the other side making great games. I was playing Goonies 2 like last week. It's like, man, I just went on this weird, real quick Konami kick on the EverDrive N8, and so I fired up like Goonies 2, Blades of Steel, Track and Field 2 because of the Olympics and whatnot. Man, Konami used to make some.
You wanted to feel patriotic, like you were part of the team.
The closest I'll ever come. Until the Olympics hit Atlantic City.
Well, yeah. That's
right around the corner, man. You never know.
Well, I mean, judging by how well it's going in Rio.
True story.
The swimming pools are turning green.
It's pretty awesome.
It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, yeah, Olympics coming to Atlantic City. Please make it happen. Because I never want to drive anywhere again. I just want to be in constant nightmare of traffic. All right. Good news. Thousands of Amiga titles have been tossed onto the internet. The Internet Archive dumped a massive collection of 1980s Commodore games. So, hooray. And that stuff's not getting taken down by anybody.
No, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, not a single one. Let's see. Let me see if I can pull a couple of titles off of this list. These are all Amiga games. You've got Bubble Bobble, R-Type, Double Dragon, Maze Man, which is so not Pac-Man. Oh, Holiday Lemmings, 93. Oh, my goodness. There's so much good stuff here. Police Quest is on there.
Nice.
Let's see. Boy, there's a bunch of crap I don't know. Mousetrap, that's a fun game. Ew, Simpsons, Bart vs. the World. Gross. This old Simpsons
that game is so hard. At least the NES version was.
All this like Bart versus the Space Mutants, like that shit was hard.
So fucking tough.
Brutal. Paws of Fury. That was an interesting game. I didn't know they made that for the Amiga. Hooray. Rolling Thunder. Classic. Pac-Man 87. The Lost Onion. There's a game on here called The Lost Onion. Okay. Just,
okay.
Sure.
Why whatever. Not?
That's a thing.
We'll do that. 19XDX. Oh boy, I love it. All right, so that's wonderful. There's an example of a bunch of cool stuff happening on the internet that nobody's going to bother taking down because who's going to bother taking this down?
Because it's not Nintendo. So
exactly. These are companies that do not give any of the craps. They just don't have any left to give. And most of the time, they're not even companies anymore. All right, let's see. So the last one. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Some dude made a Virtua Fighter robot.
I saw that. That was fucking cool.
This is just insane watching this robot move. Like, they made what was the heck is that character's name? Akira?
Yes.
It's modeled after the old, like, Virtua Fighter 1. So it looks like the character from the first Virtua Fighter, and it moves and strikes poses and whatnot. It is just insane. This whole thing is absolutely insane. I love watching this. I've watched this thing like 4 times.
As well, you should. That's pretty fucking cool.
I thought you were going to bring up the 3D NES emulator that somebody got Mega Man working on.
Oh, yeah, that thing's pretty cool. That's been around for a while. They finally perfected Mega Man on it, because I've seen it running before, but, like, the thing with that 3DS, that 3D emulator thing is, like, it just kind of stretches things. Like, I was watching a Metroid video earlier, and it just falls apart at certain angles, because the thing can't really make sense of the weird patterns that the floors and stuff are made out of in Metroid. But somebody really did a nice cleaned-up version of the first Mega Man on there. It looks great. But it's seriously creepy. This freaking robot is nuts.
I'm pretty impressed with that must have taken a lot of time and, you know, care.
Clearly. I mean, God, I can't even imagine trying to I can't build a robot. I can't pretend to build a robot. I don't know.
This isn't a thing I'm capable of.
No way. But this is the thing, like, it sits down. I'm so impressed. So impressed.
It sits down. It's way better than that robot from fucking Rocky IV. That robot sucked.
That robot is gold, okay?
Robot was a piece of shit.
I'm watching a video of it punching a punching bag and, like, walking across the floor. Like, it's striking all these poses that the character does in the game. It's so awesome.
Okay, guys, I have a theory for a new movie. We're going to do a new Rocky movie where this robot kicks the shit out of his old Rocky IV robot, and then Sylvester Stallone gets really upset and has to fight the robot in the ring.
I would
think
watch
it could
that.
Work. I think it could work.
I think you're onto something.
All right. We'll have
I mean,
to
Creed
put that
was
on...
pretty great, but.
No, this is going to blow Creed out of the water.
That could
man.
Work too.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, there you have it, folks. There it is. This is what we did for Dean's last show.
I wouldn't want to go out any other way, guys.
Awesome. Hey, for old time's sake, Dean, do the thing.
You want me to do the thing?
I want you to do the thing, Dean.
Oh, boy. All right, guys. So we really appreciate you guys tuning in and everything. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be on this podcast. Remember, you can always find us on geekade.com, GEEKADE.com, where our show notes will be, and you can find all the newest content on there. We'll be posting one thing at least a day. So, I mean, you're always going to find something new on there every day, which is awesome. For social media, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. And for Twitter, we got all our special names sorted out for us because we're awesome. I am at Kimono_VestLord. Chris is at?
Geekade Chris. That's Geekade, K-R-I-S.
And Dan is at?
At Geekade Dan.
Wow, look at that. And if you want to message Geekade in general, because the huge annihilation robot that we have powering it is always able to answer questions, you can always message us at @_Geekade on Twitter. And I think that's all I have to do for shouting things out on the social media, right?
Sure, yeah.
Look, I did a thing. Oh, you want me to do the whole thing?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right.
Are you happy? Are you pleased?
I'm always pleased, Chris. I'm always pleased to be on the show. And again, viewers, thank you for 112 episodes of insaneness. Keep messaging us at mail@geekade.com. We always appreciate that stuff. We always like the kind words and everything. And we like hearing about how our little podcast changed the way you do things. And I think I'm good there.
Awesome. Well, just another quick pit there. We always like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. Check him out on SoundCloud or Bandcamp or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. And Dean, thank you for starting this podcast and inviting me on it, because it's been a hell of an experience. We're going to miss having you around. Dan and I will do our darndest to try to keep things interesting in your absence. What about you, Dan? Any final words for the Vest Lord?
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm going to
talk to you tomorrow on paper cuts.
Someone's got to drive that flaming train wreck. Another day of Disaster Town on paper cuts. But, yeah, thank you, guys. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And don't worry, guys. For those of you needing me in your lives, you'll be able to find me here on Twitch. The vest goes on, and I'll keep wearing it. And Vest Quest will go on, along with a bunch of other new stuff that I'm going to talk about soon. So stay tuned, and Chris, I'll hand it back over to you to finally end the show.
All right. That's it. That's a wrap. Episode 112 in the bank. That'll do it. Thank you again for listening. On behalf of myself, Dan, and Dean,